Our Bible reading is taken from James 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberality, and unbraideth not, and it shall be given him.
Good morning. Happy Sabbath to everyone. Good to see everybody here today. Have all these people come out on a beautiful Sabbath day as we worship together. Brothers and sisters in Christ, pray that everything has been good for you, that the Lord Jesus Christ has led you and continues to lead you, lead in your lives. And we know that the end is coming soon. Our Lord Jesus is coming soon, and we need to be ready. And I pray that we are ready and that we will help others also to be ready. Now, it's a little warm today, warm weather we're having, quite a bit of rain still. Thunder showers this week is predicted also, but we know that we need them for our crops to grow and our flowers to grow so that everything will be beautiful and lush for us and for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's just have a word of prayer. Oh, our gracious, kind Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we may drink from the well of living water, that we may have a renewed sense in our mission to be representatives of the heavenly kingdom, to be your disciples in giving the message to the world. Thank you that we have our guide for our daily lives, the Holy Spirit. Oh, the price that was paid for each and every one of us to have life and to have it eternal. Our Savior and our Redeemer, willing to come, to become flesh, and to take the sins of the world upon himself. Oh, Father, this morning we pray that we will follow him all the way, and that one day soon we will be able to see him face to face. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Yes. Yes, we know that we need the Holy Spirit. In the outpouring, we're looking for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And in some ways, it seems like there's a delay. But this could be because of us, if there is a delay. But we talk about the early church and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. And if you would look at chapter 1 of Acts, you know, verses 1 through 8. Acts 1, 1 through 8. We've read it many times. The former Trieste have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John might truly baptize with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore come together, they ask of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the time or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And we know that they did just that, as we read in Holy Scripture for that. You know, God has a plan to bring his people back to him. And from the very beginning of the fall of Adam and Eve, the promise was given. And soon after that, they were expelled from Eden there. They were promised victory, and eventually they were returned to paradise. Read that in Genesis 3, verse 15. And we know that the promise was fulfilled at his coming. Paul uses his words, and that's if you turn to Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Philippians 2, 5 through 11. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the sea, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Here the promise was given by Jesus himself, and you can read, as we read that in Acts chapter 1. And if, maybe if you just turn back to Acts, because I think we're going to be staying right there in Acts. And we know that the fulfillment was a quick one thereafter, God, as we read in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, and you can look at that yourself to see that. We know that all through the ages, God's people have been praying for the Messiah to come. And they have that power of the Spirit for each one. We need that power to be able to finish the work to that. And the promises were fulfilled. Jesus came down from heaven and died for all of us. And the early church was empowered with the Holy Spirit to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. And we are God's children. We fervently are praying for God, Christ's return, and for the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in each one of our lives, especially in these last days, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We know the truth to be that we don't have to wait, that we have a work to do now. We can't just sit idly by waiting for the Spirit to come. We have to be working for it. And we read in Joel 2:23 about that very same thing. Maybe better quickly turn to Joel. This is another one that we've read many times. Joel 2:23. Joel 2:23. Be glad then, ye brethren of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, for he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. See that? And then in verses 28 and 29 is a prophecy of a mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit of God. It will be poured upon all flesh. That means you and I. Yeah. We know that power is one of the elements that we need. Now, when Jesus died, the disciples were disheartened. They were sad. But however, as we reflect on what happened after Jesus' ascension, we see that as he watched the Savior go up into heaven, there were peace in their hearts. And we today can have that same peace in our hearts because of Jesus' ascension to heaven and the surety that he will come again. From despair, they turned to the blessed hope. They found inner peace, and there was peace in their hearts. And I pray that we have peace in our hearts today. See that? We know, as we turn back to Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 1, in verse 14, Acts 1:14, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. So we see that they had that there. And the disciples came down from the Mount of Olives and spent time in prayer. And prayer is an important part, important element in the coming of the Holy Spirit. We need to be constantly in prayer for this Holy Spirit to come upon us. Today, we should be number one in the individual life and the agenda that God has given to us, prayer. Because we know without prayer, we can do nothing. But that is why God has given us prayer. And God said, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And he was able to do that for the apostles, and he's able to do that for today. And that we are to have a life under the Holy Spirit. That here in the book of Acts, we're able to examine and reflect on the life of the early believers under the power of the Spirit that was given to them. And it's the same for us today to see that. Luke the Apostle gives us a tremendous insight into what happened when the Spirit came down the first time. The believers were on fire for the Lord and left Jerusalem boldly preaching the message of repentance and salvation. We are to give that same message today. And what an awesome power that we can have today as they had in those days there. We can look at some of the key elements here in the book of Acts of this great power in the lives of the early Christians. And to see that, and you may not be able to, I'm not going to read them all, but you can look yourself. Chapter 2, verse 47. The Spirit gave them power to tackle some tremendous obstacles. Verse 6, the Spirit enabled them to break the barrier of foreign languages. 36, the Spirit gave them the courage to witness. We pray that we have that courage today. Verse 41, thousands of people were baptized. Verse 42, they were immersed in the Word of God. They studied the doctrines of the church. They were fellowshipping together. They were eating and breaking bread together, and they spent time in prayer. We look at verses 43 through 47. The Spirit changed their daily lives. I pray that the Spirit is changing our lives daily also as with our walk with God. Verses 46 through 47 in chapter 2, they took time to praise God and witness for Him our work for today. Chapter 4, verse 30, the apostles did wonderful signs. Verse 13 in chapter 4, the Holy Spirit transformed unlearned workers into workers for God. He will do that today. Verse 20, the Holy Spirit gave them conviction and boldness. Verse 31, their prayers shook the foundations and filled the people with the Spirit. 5:19, prison doors were opened and chains were broken as the apostles prayed. And in verse, back to chapter 3, verse 6, miracles were performed by the apostles. Nothing that cannot happen today if we allow the Holy Spirit to control our lives as well as the church. We just pray, are praying daily for the Holy Spirit to come down upon us. And we know with surety it's going to come one day soon. We know as we started our new lessons this week on revival and reformation that we do need revival in the church. How much preaching is there going on about the need for revival and reformation to be done in the church? We probably are not doing it enough. We as Adventists believe that the key is prayer. Prayer for everything as we work for God. And without it, nothing can happen if we don't have that prayer life that is so necessarily needed. Now, Ellen White confirms our thoughts by saying that a revival needs to be expected only in answer to prayer. So there it is. Without prayer, we cannot have revival, that we cannot do the work. She also says, a revival of true godliness is the greatest and most important of our needs. True godliness. Are we living that life of true godliness that we need today? I hope that we are. We know that our Heavenly Father is more willing to give us the Spirit and ask Him for that than earthly parents are give good gifts to their children. But it is our work by confession, humiliation, repentance, and earnest prayer to be children and workers for God. To fulfill that condition which God has promised to receive greater His blessings. To make this happen, Mrs. White tells us that there are some conditions that we have to have. We need to pray more, forgive more and criticize less. Yes, we know that criticism is a great obstacle for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It holds us back in so many places. But it is really just a lack of love for those whom God has created. We know that we are not the judge, that God is the judge of all people. And again, from Mrs. White, gives insights into what will happen in a church if, when we commit ourselves to the Lord and earnestly ask for the Holy Spirit. When we have an entire wholehearted consecration to the service of God, we know that we can meet that condition. God will encourage the fact by an outpouring of His Spirit without measure. We know that it's held back right now, but one day soon, without measure. Are we ready? Have we changed our lives? Have we converted ourselves and turned back to the Lord Jesus Christ to be in the condition that we can receive the Holy Spirit and work for Him to be His children and have that assurance and give it to others? But this without will be the largest portion of the church are not laborers together with God. Evangelism, page 699. So we have to be workers for God. We have work to do individually in our own lives, in our lives of our family, lives of our friends. But we also need to be as members of the church to be workers also there for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to be able to, where thousands will be converted, and this message will touch even those who have strayed from the fold. Page 693. So humbly, we had to ask the Lord, what should we be praying to bring the Holy Spirit into our lives and empowering the church to finish that task which is before us? And from the book of Last Day Events, here are some of the major points to pray and to ask for. A revival of true godliness. Obtain victory over pride, selfishness, love of the world, and every wrong word in return. And we need to do this day to ask for that victory. Yield our souls to Christ. By the power of the Holy Spirit, the moral image of God is to be perfected in our character. To have the character of God. Be able to do that. We know that we have to work at that. By prayer and faith, we are continually to seek more of the Spirit, to do it every day, asking for that Holy Spirit to be with us. He knows that He is to live within us. We have the temple of the living God in us, and we pray that we are able to access the Holy Spirit through that. By prayer and faith, we are continually to seek the Lord. We must put away all envy, all strife, for the supremacy that we can have with Jesus Christ. And Paul tells us to pray without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. We need to make the outpouring of the Holy Spirit a reality, that I pray that it comes soon to help us. But we know that we have a work to do. We are going to be judged by our works. We know that our works did not gain anything for any of us. But we will be judged by our works. And we know that our prayer should be, even so, come, Lord Jesus, come, Holy Spirit. And I pray that that's it. A revival is needed for the Holy Spirit. Talking about that revival for the Seventh-day Adventist Church. I just pray that we are changed, that we have that life individually as in a church, to work together, to be in unity, so that we may work for God, to be His examples, to be His children, all for the chance that we may mess up all the chances that God has sent to us, and we may have passed it by. Or the time that somebody that we have passed by and we haven't mentioned about the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether we're timid or scared or what did we do, we need to change. We need to have that revival in our lives so that we will be representatives of the true God. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Yes, Father, we're asking for that Holy Spirit, that holy power that we may have in our lives now, so that we may be able to go forward into the kingdom, go forward in giving the gospel message to the world. We know that the whole earth is yours, that you have your people in every part of the world. And we pray that thou will be with them, even the ones that are in hiding, that they have to worship in secret, the ones that are worshiping in their homes, the ones that are worshiping out the open sky as their roof. And all your people, Father, on this holy Sabbath day, may they have truly have that blessing of the Holy Spirit. We ask for these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.